let somebody know that, hey, my mom's off balance today. One of the recommendations on the BEERS list for Seroquel is it can cause infections also. So when a patient has infections, they exhibit other, you know, like off balance and fevers and things like that.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing MBBS podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this particular episode. Today we are talking about how psychotropic drugs increase the risk of falls. Like, what are the characteristics of the psychotropic drug? Like, what do they do to the body that would make an individual resident more inclined to fall down? But we're not having that conversation alone. We have the fantastic Amanda Myvogel. That had to phonetically spell that out so that I would say it correctly. But she's going to be on the show to walk us through that particular subject. But for now, it's time for the nursing home regulation question of the week. As always, it's your opportunity to completely ignore your opportunity to win a nursing home abuse podcast mug, a shiny porcelain mug from which to drink your coffee in the morning. Rob, how do I win this? If I'm not going to ignore you, what do I got to do to get this coffee mug? It's very easy. Potentially, you go to our TikTok, which is at Justice for Residents, find this week's question of the week video. So for this one, you're looking for a thumbnail featuring the phenomenal 1990s boy band Boys to Men in the thumbnail. So look for Boys to Men, click on it, leave your answer to this question as well as your favorite boy band from the 90s or 2000s. Mine will be Boys to Men. They were part of the East Coast family, which included Another Bad Creation and Belle Biv DeVoe. Belle Biv DeVoe itself was a splinter group from the mega 1980s boy band. New Edition, sorry. New Edition also featured, I want to say, Bobby Brown, Ralph Tres Vance. I'm not reading this. This is literally from my brain. Anyway, put your favorite boy band from the 2000s or the 90s and your answer, and a random winner will be chosen. But let's be frank here. I'm literally just talking to myself. So if you do enter, it will be announced at the end of the week. The prize will be sent off at the end of the month. Let's get to the question. This week, I think the difficulty level is probably medium hard. So here we go. If you get it right, give yourself two Snickers bars, the king size. That's a lot, but it's medium hard. So two king size Snickers bars. Here we go. Under 42 CFR 483.73, which governs emergency preparedness for long-term care facilities, what is the core expectation for a nursing home's emergency preparedness program? Is it A, develop a one-time emergency plan focused solely on natural disasters relevant to that nursing home's geographic location? B, establish and maintain a comprehensive emergency preparedness program addressing a range of potential emergencies and complying with relevant emergency requirements? Or C, rely on local emergency response agencies for all emergency planning and preparedness activities to avoid duplicating efforts. And that answer is B. The nursing home is required to maintain a comprehensive plan that encompasses most all reasonably expected emergencies. But now it's time to get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. As I mentioned, we're talking about psychotropic drugs and the risk of falls that they create. We're not having that conversation alone. We got Amanda Myvogel on the show. Amanda brings over 20 years of healthcare experience, beginning as a certified nursing assistant before becoming a nurse. She has devoted her career to caring for older adults across settings such as nursing homes, emergency departments, home health, and research. Today, Amanda continues her work in the emergency department, reviews medical cases, and pursues ongoing education, demonstrating her lasting commitment to improving care for an aging population. We're so happy to have Amanda on the show. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Amanda, let's cue up a softball question for you. Since we're going to be talking about psychotropic medications in nursing homes, let's first define what does that mean?
So a psychotropic drug is any drug that can alter your mind or mood. They work on the neurotransmitters in your brain to control.
Okay, so then I guess why would a drug like this be prescribed to somebody in a nursing home? Like what kind of treatment are we giving? What kind of behavior are we trying to affect?
Specifically in the nursing homes, you know, they have a lot of dementia units. It's kind of an off-label use for to control the behaviors like verbal aggression, their moods, just behaviors where they couldn't stay in their home. So these patients are given these medications to stabilize and make them normal so they can function and, you know, be a normal person.
What, so this is going to sound like a strange question, but what is the Beers list?
Oh, so on the Beers list, it's a psychotrope. There's a whole bunch of medications on that list. It's a list that was created by a Dr. Peter Beers in 1991. He has since passed on, but the American Geriatric Society has now taken it over. So basically, it's a whole bunch of lists of medications that's really not recommended to be prescribed in any elderly adult. You know, just because when you're older, you know, you lose kidney function, it doesn't absorb as well. But it's just a list of recommendations to avoid these medications because they can cause not the intended effect when patients take these medications.
So nothing to do with jewelry or diamond rings.
No, 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 not at all.
Like whenever I hear Beers or Beers list, that's what I think. I'm like, oh my gosh, is it Valentine's Day? What's going on? Not like I'm going to buy any jewelry for my wife anyway. She's low key. So I've got lucky with that.
Yeah. Respect.
But anyway, okay. So let's transition then into like how would a psychotropic drug, if there's a certain benefit to it, like if we're modifying a certain behavior, okay, that we perhaps want to minimize or eliminate. How does that affect somebody's risk of fall?
So these medications, when they take them, they cause heavy sedation, you know, and sometimes when a patient takes them, if they're acting not where the nursing home would want them to be at, where they would be disruptive to themselves or other patients, these medications are given and they can have other intended effects. Like instead of calming them down, they can make them more agitated. And, you know, that can lead to falls, the heavy sedation. Sometimes it lowers your blood pressures. It can cause confusion.
I see. So essentially we're talking about, agitation, maybe it makes a resident more prone to wander or to get up, and the drowsiness or the sedation factor would affect the body's mechanics of being able to walk around without falling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So and again, this episode, we're not, for the audience out there, we're not talking about, you know, the rights and wrongs of prescribing these. If you want to know more about, you know, why psychotropics are prescribed and whether or not they're abused in that circumstance, go to episode 107, where we talked with Kelly Bagby, as well as episode 235, which was from January of 2025 with Dr. Michaels on reducing medication errors. But anyway, just that's, I digress. So Amanda, if we know that there are certain types of psychotropic drugs that might increase the likelihood that a resident would fall, kind of what can we do to mitigate that risk in and of itself? Like it's almost like kind of in a sense, almost like a catch-22. Like we have a behavior that's potentially a problem. We need to mitigate that behavior, but at the same time, we also have the ramification that there's a fall. Like how do we balance these things?
Yeah, you know, it always comes down to like education and more staff. Not everybody can work with this type of patient, when they're having these episodes. So it takes a lot of training and patience and education to work with these patients to prevent falls, to calm them down without using medications or other resources or other ways that the nursing homes may calm the patient down. I just old education and staff, instead of the basic. When I was as a nurse myself, so I would always explain to the nursing assistant that may be working with the patient, hey, this patient's on this medication, she may have more increased risk for fall. So sometimes it just comes down to basic communication, just like that.
And
And
what are some of the more prominent or more common psychotropic medications that have that consequence of making somebody a higher risk of fall?
Seroquel, that's widely used. It's on the BARS list for multiple of reasons. But again, if your medication is on that list, it does, it doesn't mean that the doctor can't prescribe it. It's just there's more things to watch out for, more side effects to watch out for.
So, would you recommend to a family that has a loved one in a nursing home that they kind of understand the BARS list, or what are some things that you would tell them if you had a family in front of you and they were worried about their loved one falling due to to medication use in the nursing home?
Yeah, definitely. I would tell them to keep a log of the behaviors. If they know that their loved one is on this medication, keep a log to see after they take this medication or how they behave. Is it increasing? Are they really sedated? Maybe they can decrease the dose or maybe they don't need to be on it anymore. But again, I'm not a prescriber. These are just things that I observe.
So let's unpack that a little bit. So what are we observing? Like what's any change in the behavior or?
Right. Like if they notice that, say mom was able to walk or, was able to walk on balance. Now, all of a sudden today she's off balance.
I see.
That would be a sign to let somebody know that, hey, my mom's off balance today. Because one of the recommendations on the BARS list for Seroquel is it can cause infections also. So when a patient has infections, they exhibit other signs, like off balance and fevers and
So, I mean, I guess, I mean, like it really does come down to a balancing list. If we have a psychotropic drug as a potential intervention, we analyze whether that intervention is appropriate under the circumstances. And then based on that particular interventions, we have to have other interventions, right?
Another good intervention. I've worked in some nursing homes that use restorative aids. Again, it comes down to resources, education,
What is a restorative aid?
A restorative aid could helps when patients are in nursing homes, a lot of times once their physical therapy runs out, they're not really getting much exercise. So the aid or restorative aid is assigned to patients to kind of go and do basic exercises,
I see.
with the patient, almost like a range of motion, basic range of motion with a patient.
I see. So almost like you're working on the residents' like physical abilities in that sense, as opposed to
Yeah, and
like co
that can
a
help.
cognitive issue.
Right, and that can help decrease falls
I see.
also.
All right. Well, let's kind of transition a little bit then. So what are some of the other things that you might see, other interventions that you might see in a care plan for somebody that might be at a higher risk for fall based on a psychotropic drug?
So on a care plan, they may have the patient have one-on-ones that may be an intervention. Again, that's going to be staffing and maybe they can adjust the time that they're giving the medication, maybe give it closer to bedtime. That's a good intervention. I'm trying to think besides the basics.
No, the basics are fine. Like that's
Okay. Make sure they have, if they have to have a walker, make sure they have their devices that they need. And of course, the basics, make sure they've gone to the bathroom.
Right.
That's where a lot of the falls are at in nursing homes, our bathrooms. And then also back to the basics, lighting, making sure there's nothing, nothing in the walkways.
I see. Well, very good, Amanda. Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, folks, I hope that you found this episode educational. If you have any ideas for topics that you would like for me to discuss, please let me know. If you have any ideas for guests that you would like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. Please, please enter the contest to win the stupid mug. Okay? Just do it. Like, why not? It's a coffee mug. I mean, like, look, you're not paying for shipping. It's literally just putting something into TikTok. You're on TikTok anyway. You're scrolling for at least an hour on TikTok a day. Just go on there, answer the question, put your favorite boy band, get your coffee mug. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.